Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Light of Truth program. Tonight I will be doing the broadcast. My name is Gene Schmidt, and Michael Boldea is in Dallas, Texas. He is doing the Hear the Watchman conference this weekend, and people have been asking about how they can connect with that conference if they can't travel to Dallas, Texas. You can go to hearthewatchman.com, and I know that they are streaming that conference, so I think it's going to be a great event. There's a lot of people sharing and speaking there that are really people that have a heart to blow a trumpet in this hour in our country, and I believe it'll be a very solid event to keep warning people about what's coming to America. And so, again, that's the Hear the Watchman Conference. That's in Dallas, Texas this weekend, and I believe it'll be a great event. So with that, I am going to share tonight about my trip to Romania in 1990. A lot of people ask questions about Hand of Help, Power Ministry, God Started, and various questions about Romania and the plight of people over there. And I want to do a show on educating you tonight on Romania and what it was like to go there on my first trip with Dimitru Dudeman. I believe this will be a very enlightening program. I think it'll really help you understand why Hand of Help is heavily involved in that country, helping widows and orphans. And I want to give a little bit of history about Romania. It was a communist country, and it was a country that was communist from 1947 to 1989. It was a very heavily persecuted country when it came to Christians and the church. People were persecuted for their faith. People were put to death for their faith. Prisons were full of many Christians around the country that tried to stand with their faith. And so the dictator of Romania that was extremely hateful towards the church, his name was Nicolae Ceaușescu. And he was the president of Romania from 1965 to 1989. And I happened to meet Dimitru Dudeman in 1988. I heard him preaching in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I took a youth group to the meeting. And I was somewhat not where I should have been with my walk with the Lord when he started preaching a very powerful message on repentance. And there were about 200 people at the meeting. He walked out on the stage with, it looked to me like a very a suit that you could have bought at a St. Vincent de Paul. He was very humble, very meek, but very powerful in the Lord. And before the meeting even began that night, a lady started screaming bloody murder, and he went over by her. He pleaded the blood of Jesus, and she ran out of the hall. And then he started just saying to the people that the devil was trying to hinder the meeting, and gave an hour of his testimony to the people. And I have to admit, it convicted me to the core. To hear Brother Dudeman share about his coming to America, his persecution in Romania, being put on the electric chair twice and surviving, to have him share about all the trouble and trials he went through to deliver God's message to America, it really brought my heart to a place of really going, you know, questioning, God, where am I at with you? Because I've never suffered anything like this. And boy, to hear Dimitru preach was very convicting. He shared every facet of his message, from the torture to the persecution, to the electric chair. He shared all about surviving the torture and what it was like under communism. And at the end of the meeting, he gave an altar call, and I can tell you that a whole lot of people went up there. People were throwing out their cigarettes. People were repenting of every kind of sin imaginable. And he started praying over people, and for some reason he called me out and asked me if I played music, guitar. And they just so happened to have a guitar at the place, and I happened to start doing worship music and praise music while he was praying over people at the altar. And while he was praying for people, I saw many healings, saw the power of God. It was a meeting, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been to too many like it in America, where the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit was that great. I mean, you could feel God in the place. The preaching was with authority, and it was strong, and it was Holy Spirit filled. And I was convicted. In fact, I spent that night calling out to God to cleanse me and forgive me of my sins. And that meeting lasted 2.5 hours, and a lot of lives were changed. A lot of lives were touched by the Lord. And I saw just miracles. And that night, when Dimitri did the meeting, he ended up coming to stay at my house. And he asked me to put meetings together for him, and also to pray about becoming a worker for Hand of Help. But before all that happened, when he started to ask me about being part of Hand of Help, I flew out to California, and I actually wanted to see how this brother lived that was preaching so powerfully that night in Milwaukee. And a few weeks later, I flew out to California, and I went to this small apartment, exactly what Dimitri described. I took a brother with me out there. I had an album that I had done of music, and we went into that apartment. It was very small. It was not a Joel Osteen mansion, I'll guarantee you that. Dimitri lived very, very humble and very, very just unassuming. And we sat down at a kitchen table. Virginia was there. His wife was there. The whole family lived in a little apartment with 2 bedrooms, kitchen, living room attached, exactly what he described in his preaching around America. And he had a Bible in front of him, and I put my CD down, and Dimitri said, "I'm not worried about the music right now. We're going to open the Bible, and we're going to pray." And he grabbed my CD, and he made a comment that convicted me, because the CD, at that time I was leaning a bit towards, I'm a songwriter and musician, and I was leaning towards music that was much more heavy. You couldn't quite call it rock and roll, but he told me this: the devil leads people by the nose, and they never find the truth. They have to repent to find the truth. And that was the end of him talking about my CD of music that night. We got into the Word, we prayed, and then I invited him after that trip to come to Wisconsin and travel for a couple weeks around the state. And I can tell you this, God did many miracles when Dimitri Dudeman was in my home. I do want to get to when I went to Romania with him, but I have to preface this so you understand how I got involved in Hand to Help Ministry. When he was in my home the first night, my wife and I were in a guest bedroom. He was in our main bedroom with Michael, and I woke up about midnight, and something happened that never happened to me ever before. I woke up, and I felt the air in my room, and it felt like silky oil. It was amazing. I put my hand up, and my thoughts were just, it was so divine, it was so powerful, it's hard to describe the feeling. But in my home was definitely the angel of God, right in my house. And my wife woke up, and all we could do was pray. I remember putting my head towards the ground and going, "God, I feel your power. Who is in my house? It has to be a heavenly being, and I didn't quite understand all that, but I walked over to his bedroom door, and I heard him talking to someone in the bedroom, and I couldn't hear the angel of God talk back, but I do know he talked quite a while with the heavenly being, and I went back to my bedroom, went to sleep, and the next day, when I got out of my room, Dimitri got out of his room, and he was walking right by me, and he goes, "He knew you were by the door." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "The man who visited me, or not the man, the angel who visited me in the past visited me last night, and he knew you were standing by the bedroom door. And he wanted you to come in because he had a message for you." And I'll be honest with you, that really, in layman's terms, freaked me out, because I knew there was an angel of God in my house. And I knew the house, it felt different in my home. But the thought of me walking in on Dimitri talking to an angel of God, and him knowing that I was at that bedroom door, shocked me. And that week we traveled around Wisconsin, and I can tell you Dimitri knew what people's sins were. He preached in every church where he preached. You could tell that God had spoken to him about certain issues ahead of time. And whenever he gave a word from God, it was never, ever, it never missed, not one time. Whenever he confronted sin at the meetings, especially sexual sin or immorality, or talked about it in the church, he was always accurate. And it started put the fear of God in me that I'm not working with any old man. This man is a man of God, and he hears from God. And it caused me to really get stirred in my walk with the Lord. It caused me to really be absolutely devout, serious, sober-minded, working with Dimitri Dudeman, and every gift of the Holy Spirit, I saw it, every gift operate in his ministry as he traveled around our state. And after that tour, and after having him come to our state once or twice after that, he asked me to go to Romania with him. And he had God showed him a month before Ceausescu, or let me preface by saying this, before Ceausescu died, was put to death in 1989, December of 89, Dimitri started telling the church that he went to in California, the leadership of Romania is going to change. And the brothers didn't believe him. And he said, yes, God's going to allow this leader, the tree of Romania is going to get cut down. And even with the brothers not believing him, in 1989 in December, Ceausescu's whole kingdom came crashing down to nothing, and him and his wife Elena were put to death, and freedom came to Romania. And I'm telling you, this brother Dudeman, whenever God showed him things, they were always accurate. And that's how our team first got to go into Romania in 1990. And I had heard a lot about the suffering of the people in Romania. I'd heard a lot about the persecuted church. Stories got out that the church went through great trials and great suffering. And so Dimitri, who was a Bible smuggler, put together several suitcases of Bibles. We put together a team of brothers and sisters, and we went into Romania in late spring of 1990, and we went to Bucharest, to Otopen Airport, and as we were going through the security, they threatened us, because we had Bibles, they threatened to put Dimitri in jail over taking Bibles into Romania, because now Romania was free. And anyways, by the way, everyone saying hi on the chat room, God bless you tonight. Thank you for all those joining. I'm sharing about my first trip to Romania with Dimitri Dudeman. God bless you for tuning in. I hope this program helps you tonight and you understand how God gave such a great freedom to that country. They threatened to put Dmitry in jail, and he told them straight out, he said, there's no better book for this country than the Bible. And I know God gave us victory because they let us go through the security line with Bibles, and we had them in our suitcases, and it was the hand of God. And we traveled to Dimitru's home area of Botoşan, Romania, and we stayed up in one of his relatives' apartments. There were a few things that shocked me about the country when we first went in. One is how poor it was, very, very poor. It also shocked me that people were standing in food lines, bread lines, meat lines. People were wearing very old clothes. You could tell that it was very poor. And it was an eye-opener for me. To go from America to Romania really, really shocked me. And I started thinking, God, look how you've blessed America, and look at how we've had so many blessings and how we've taken it for granted. And so you couldn't find food. The grocery stores were pretty well out of food, and if you went to a restaurant, they served you one or two choices of food. It was unreal. Gas lines. But Dmitry had put together several evangelistic meetings around the country, working with the brothers that he worked with smuggling Bibles. And I know that we had, over a 2-3 week period of time, we had almost a meeting every night to take the gospel of Christ into Romania, to share the Lord with a country that just got free of communism. Is that not awesome, how great and mighty God is to let us do that? And I'll never forget that we started to do meetings. Many of the villages did not have churches, at least Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, born-again churches. The church was underground. What I mean by churches, I should preface that by saying church buildings. Many of them did not have Bibles. Many of the churches, again, were underground, because if you gave Bibles away publicly under Ceausescu, you could be put in prison for 25 years, and they could take all your land, take your house, take your money. And so we started to have meetings. We had them in schools, believe it or not. We had them in culture halls. And let me tell you what, they were packed. They were packed full of people. Came and filled up the halls. And I did music, and brothers preached, and Dmitry got up there and preached. And it was heavenly. It was like nothing you've ever seen in your life. It was like heaven would come down and send the river of God, send the power of God. It was like, it was so amazing. And night after night, we saw many, many, many hundreds of people come to Jesus. And I'm not exaggerating. And the Bibles that you would put out, they would literally jump over one another to grab a Bible. And so I saw this night after night in our trip to Romania, and over, and when I went the first time, it was such a eye-opener and such a powerful tour, trip, that Dmitry asked me to go several other times with him. And one thing I noticed about going to Romania, they were very hungry for God. I'm going to tell you, they were hungry for God. They were hungry for the gospel. They were so hungry for God, there's no words to describe it. They were praying, and they're crying out, and at the altar call, the whole place would erupt in prayer. The whole place would erupt in praise, and the Holy Spirit would fall, and so many of the people would repent. And it was just amazing. Another thing that I was impressed with, it didn't matter if the meeting lasted 3 hours, 4 hours, they would stay the whole time, and you could just see God bringing the open door of the gospel to Romania. It was such a beautiful thing to see. And I was thanking God, God, you allowed me to be a part of this. You allowed me to take my guitar and go over with a team and sing music. And I think every night that we went out and ministered, I had tears in my eyes. And I would just literally be crying a cry of thanks and praise. And it's just amazing. Another facet of Romania was when Dimitri took us to the state-run orphanages. Romania has, at the time in 1990, the number of kids without parents and homes and families was in the over 100,000. It was so many children, even living under the streets of Bucharest. Believe it or not, kids would, they had thousands of kids living under the streets of Bucharest. And so many orphan kids, and they tried to put them in state-run orphanages, and they were terrible. They were unbelievably unsanitary. They were, the kids would not even have clothes on. The kids would be two in a crib, three kids in a crib, some of them laying in their own urine, some of them without a decent shower. And I remember going to some of those orphanages, and I remember seeing Dimitri leave there crying. And he'd go, I can't, he would say, dear God, help these kids. I saw it with my own eyes. And I believe that is what opened the door for God to ultimately make a way for Hand of Help to build an orphanage in Botoșan, Romania, that now has been helping kids for many, many years. The state-run orphanages were terrible. They were worse than the worst institutions of America, how terribly these kids were suffering in poverty. Another thing that I noticed in my trips to Romania that I thought was amazing was the people's hospitality. Whenever you go to villages, before we do the church meetings and evangelism meetings, people would invite us to their home to eat and to have fellowship. And one thing Dimitri would always say to us, I think it was somewhat of a joke, I hope it was, but I think he may have meant it at times. He'd go, in America, you see so many people go, hi, bye. And in Romania, I didn't see that with people. When you went there to eat, they gave you their best food. They loved the fellowship. They were very big on families, eating together, praying together, going to church together. And I started to marvel at the fact that so many families, the kids were Christians. Not one, not two, all of them. And also I marveled at the fact of the size of the families. Because in the Romanian families, what I noticed, and I thought it was a beautiful thing, is yes, they had large families, and though it was very poor over there, those large families, those kids were helpful in maintaining the field, the farm, the animals, to help the family live. And the church people would say, children are a blessing. And the church people would be, that Christians were extremely happy to have large families. And the food was amazing. They didn't have much, but what they had, they'd give you their very best. And all of this, my trip to Romania, and I've been there over 20 times. I've traveled while Dimitri was alive many, many times with him and his teams. And after Dimitri passed away, I went over and traveled a lot with Mike Boldea Sr. And so through God's grace and God's blessing, I've been able to see Romania in a perspective that not many people get to see. Some of the amazing things that happened on our trips, well, one meeting was near Dimitri's hometown, Hincest, Romania. I know we were at a schoolhouse one night. The communists sent in a guy to disrupt the, you know, we're talking ex-communists from the old days, because now that Romania had freedom in 1990, communism was outlawed, and they would play the Jesus movie on the TVs around the country. And I remember that a guy was sent there, a hooligan they called him, to disrupt the meeting. But by the time the music started playing and the preaching started taking place, God disarmed this guy, and he was able to do nothing. In fact, he could have very well been one of the people that gave his heart to Jesus that night, because even in Dimitri's home village, many, many people at the meeting gave their heart to Jesus. This was revival. This was God touching lives throughout the country. On a couple of my trips, I remember that as we started to go over, the pastors would ask for money to build churches. They'd go, there's been evangelism, we've outgrown our homes. We can't hold church in the house. People are standing outside. And they'd come to Dimitri and they'd ask him, the Ministry of Hand of Help help them to build churches? And Dimitri would take the money that donors would give to Romania, and he would pass that money out to pastors. I saw it with my own eyes. And he'd give them just so much to start a basement. I remember going to Talpa and going to Constanza and going to all over, Dombrovan and Suceava and out to, just so many villages. And the pastors would come and some would be crying and he'd give them money from the money that donors gave and they'd start their church. And then he'd go, next trip I come, if the basement's done and I see that you've got the proper receipts for the things you've bought, I will give more money and we will keep building that church in the name of the Lord. And amazingly, while Dimitri Dudeman was alive, Hand of Help was involved in over 50 church building projects in Romania, over 50. I went to the church they were building in Constanza, Romania, and I know the church held several thousand people. Think about that. Back in those days, you could build a church for much less money than you can today. And on each trip that we go to, Dimitri would give them finances. And it was so beautiful to see that. And he was very careful with the finances. He would always say to our team, it's God's money. And if it's God's money, we're going to do it God's way. And he was a very careful brother and never thought of himself. He always thought of others. And over one amazing thing that happened is our orphanage. From my first trip in Romania and with Dimitri seeing the orphan kids, one night Dimitri said that in California, and I want to get the story right because this radio show is taped, and I don't want to be giving any information that's not accurate. But I will say this, Dimitri, I believe, had a dream when he was in California from off the road, and he had a dream about kids crying for a home. And I know that from that dream, he went on a fast with his family, a three-day fast. And I believe he told Mike, we're going to build an orphanage after the dream. And Mike told him, Grandpa, we only have a little bit of money in the bank account. And that's when Dimitri said, then we'll fast, then we'll pray. And the family went on a fast and prayer. I happened to be out there, California, 3 days later when a woman came and visited, who'd heard that they were living in Fullerton. She sat down with Dimitri. She had time with them, and she left a check. She left a check after a three-day fast for the orphanage work, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars. Is that not the hand of God? And that money went towards the groundbreaking of the Hand of Help Orphanage in Botoșan, Romania, and thank God, with God's grace, God's blessing, I was able to be at the groundbreaking ceremony with the mayor of Botoșan when the orphanage was the first shovel of dirt was taken out of the ground. It took 4 years to build the orphanage, and from 1992 to 1996, it was a lot of prayer, a lot of work, and the monies that people gave to Hand of Help went for that orphanage. It stands today as a beautiful building right at the edge of town, and amazingly, the work had never stopped. Every trip that Dimitri went over and many of the trips I went with him on, he always took money over there to keep working on the orphanage. And today, you can go to Bodoshan and you can see the orphanage. You can see the Messiah Church next to it. We have a medical building next to that, a five-acre compound. All because God's people heard the cry, and God heard the cry of the Romanian orphans and widows. And another amazing thing, our Messiah Church was designed, the whole idea was given to Dimitru, and he had the idea of building a church next to the orphanage in the shape of Noah's Ark. That's an amazing thing as well. And when you go to the Messiah Church next to the orphanage, it is absolutely beautiful. You can stand anywhere in the church, and it holds about 1,000 people. I've had the blessing of being there and singing there. But it holds about 1,000 people, and it has a beautiful reverberation in the church. And when you sing in front of the church worship songs, you can hear them all the way in the back, and you really don't even need a PA system. The design, the makeup of the church is amazing, and a dream and a vision given to Brother Dudeman. So very, very powerful, very beautiful. Another thing that I want to talk about with my travels to Romania, the power of God. The power of God. Friends, today many people say the Holy Spirit doesn't work like the gifts were for yesterday, not today, or some churches have relegated that we don't major on the minors, or people talk about the power of God in the past tense. I'm going to tell you something, Romania, when I went in 1990, I saw the Holy Spirit work in great power. We'd go to homes to have prayer, and I remember going to Suchavica, to a blind woman's home. This lady had the gift of prophecy, and she was not 80% accurate, 50% accurate, 90% accurate, 100% accurate. And when we all bowed down in that home to pray, she would touch you with the cane, and she would give you, start speaking a word from God, and she didn't know me. I came from over the water, over the ocean, but God spoke and read my mail and spoke to me so powerfully, I started crying. Some things I'd gone through when I was younger, God addressed that in the prophecy, all in someone's home. No, you didn't walk in and see the soap operas on the TV. You didn't walk in and see, you know, bad movies playing. You walked into the home, and inside, in the living room and in the home was a house of prayer. And God help us to get back to that. We went to many villages around Romania on our first trip, and we had prayer in Dalamari. There was a sister there named Sister McClook, very gifted in the Holy Spirit. And they called these homes houses of prayer. And God really powerfully. I didn't even understand the gift of prophecy that much until I went to Romania and saw for myself so many vessels full of the oil and power of God, so many churches that the underground church that was so on fire for God, in the church was tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and the holy power of God and great moves of God. And it really caused me to come home and really want more of the Lord in my life. I went to, you know, me. All I know is I saw this work of the Holy Spirit, and when I'd come back home to America, and hear many people in denominational teachings that God doesn't work like that anymore, or our denomination doesn't believe that. I want to just say tonight that I saw it with my own eyes, the power of God. And if your church or denomination doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, then pray that they would read the Bible and really study the book of Acts, because God's a God of power, and I witnessed it myself. Some testimonies of the work of the Holy Spirit as I traveled to Romania. One was a prophecy that I got in Romania on one trip. God said, the devil wants to take a limb off your middle child. I got that at a prayer meeting. In that prayer meeting, my pastor from Wisconsin was with me. And God said, if you fast and pray, you will see my power. Let me tell you what happened. That night I fasted and prayed, and I didn't play games with that word. This was a word from God. This was the plan of the devil to hurt my kid. And we fasted and prayed, and not knowing, back in America, Romania is 8 hours ahead of Wisconsin. But after that prayer, do you want to know what the plan of the devil was? The plan of the devil was that after that prayer meeting, someone parked a tractor by my house in Wisconsin. And my middle child went up on that tractor with my younger son, and they were going to turn on that tractor's engine, motor, and my son had the thought of putting his arm down the smokestack, which would have taken his limb, would have burnt him, would have got caught in there. And God alerted my wife to go outside and check on the boys, and she went out there and she caught them in the act of doing this, ready to do this. And God alerted her, and thank God they got down off that tractor. Me, I didn't know any of this happened, but went to prayer the next night in Dalamari, and this was the word of God to Gino. After 3 hours of prayer, nobody got a prophecy, or no one gave me a prophecy till the last prayer. I was determined I'm not leaving this prayer meeting until I hear from God. And then a prophecy came when we were practically sleeping on our Bibles and hymnals. God said this, because you fasted and prayed, I protected your son. Is that not incredible? And my child, because God alerted my wife, the angels of God watch over us. My son's limb is on him today. Another powerful word from God, another powerful ways that I saw God working, was in Constanza, Romania, at a culture hall. How hungry were they for the Lord in Romania? We rented a culture hall. 2,000 people showed up to hear about the good news of Jesus. This was early on in one of my early trips to Romania. We brought in a choir, we brought in a worship team, brothers preaching, and as we started doing the worship music, all of a sudden the power of God fell on that whole culture hall, and from one end to the other, all the hands went up, and the people started praising God. They just started, and we're talking non-Christians. We're talking people that just now started feeling the presence of God. And I saw the whole wave of God's power go through the whole crowd because I was up there playing my guitar. And this went on for 15 to 20 minutes. They were praising God just by the Holy Spirit of God falling on the place. And at that meeting, when the brothers preached and Dimitri preached, the altar was full, packed 7, 8, 10 rows deep of people hungry to receive Jesus. And I'm pitching myself going, do you realize how awesome this is, that you are a part of this, that you are with a brother in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, giving the good news of the Lord, and you're seeing firsthand revival. You're seeing revival. And this happened on that trip. We went several weeks to villages and started to do meetings in the culture halls because so many more people were coming. And I remember Dimitri bought 20,000 New Testaments to pass out on that trip. I remember going into a home or a building with a, not a home, but a building with a, like a room that you store things, and there were pallets of Bibles. And I saw something that absolutely amazed me on that trip. I saw people jump over one another at from culture hall to culture hall at the altar call to have a Bible. They'd have 200-300 Bibles on a table, and they would be gone in 10 minutes. Is that not awesome? Is that not incredible? Is that not beautiful? And yet in our public schools in America, if you try to take the Bible into those public schools, sadly, they will tell you we've got to have separation of church and state. When over in Romania, we had meetings in culture halls and schools, and they said, we don't want separation of church and state. We want God in our lives, in our government. And God gave freedom in Romania. And when they became free in 1990, what movie do you think played all over the country? The Jesus film, the Jesus movie. This is, you know, when you think of America today, we're the ones that took the Bibles to Romania. We're the ones that sent missionaries to Romania. And even in our own schools and colleges, they've become an incubator of atheism and agnosticism and anti-God thought. Our schools have become full of dead man's bones instead of the life of Christ and the things of God. And if there's a country today that needs revival, it's America. If there's a country today that needs change, it's America. Because what I saw in Romania, the hunger in the people's hearts, the hunger for the things of God were impressive. I also want to share about meeting the hymn writer of Romania, Nicolae Moldovanu. He wrote hundreds, if not thousands, of hymns. He's called the great hymn writer of Romania. I happened to go to his home on one of my trips. And I'll never forget when you go to his home, which was an apartment in a block building. When you walk in the door, he asks you to take your shoes off. And the first thing you do when you walk in is you sit down and you have a prayer. And I'm going to tell you that I felt God literally, I walked in a couple steps into his place. And I felt God, just the Holy Spirit in that place, like hard to describe. This man shone with just radiance. He just had the joy of Christ. He had like a peace over him. And you know what? He spent 5 years in Romanian prison, tortured and beaten and put out at night in cold and freezing weather. He was put out in naked. He was beaten. He was literally, incredibly suffered for the Lord. And what do you think God used him to do in the prison? He wrote 300 hymns in the prison without pen or paper. Memorized them. Is that not incredible? How amazing God worked in Romania. And I got to meet him. And to this day, I still have a photograph with him, with Nicolae, sitting next to him because I'm a songwriter. I still have a photograph of him, and I remember as if it was yesterday to be able to meet him. I just want to share these testimonies tonight so that I pray you're blessed by them. I pray that they touch your life. I pray that you get a taste of what I got to see with my own eyes over there. I want to also share another thing about my trips to Romania, that Dimitru Dudeman, one thing that was amazing was just meeting his family, and I want to talk about his daughter, Virginia Boldea. Now, some of you that are chatting tonight, I don't know if you remember Virginia, but Virginia Boldea was Dimitru's daughter, and she was just an incredible woman of God. I happened to travel with the teams over there, and she would go with us and help the poor. And I remember going to a village with Virginia on one of my trips, and we drove for hours on these bumpy roads. They're not interstate highways. They were not well paved. And when we went to the village, I'll never forget what happened. We went to a home. It just seemed like God gave Virginia radar to find people that must have been crying out for days, if not weeks, for the Lord to send them help and hope. We walked into a home with no windows. They were all busted out. The pots and pans, there were just three or four of them, all dirty and crusty. Five or six kids standing up, looking at us, walk in with no shoes on, with the poor husband standing there speechless because his wife had just died. And I remember with that team giving him a stack of money that would last 6 months to help him rebuild his life, buy food, and help his kids. And he broke down, and he said to the team, after today, I'm going to church, and I'm going to follow the Lord. Is that not incredible? Just amazing. We went to so many villages on our trips, and saw that time after time. I remember there was a flood in Romania, and on one of my trips, Virginia took me to a village that was flooded out. It literally destroyed the homes. It destroyed the businesses. And we'd walk down, and it was heart-wrenching. But Virginia brought money and literally gave those people, they were Christians. It was Christians. It affected Christians. And she gave them money and food. We filled a van full of food, sausages and meat and bread. And they didn't have nothing. And she started to pass that stuff out. And I thought to myself, do I pray for my bread like these people prayed for theirs? It just caused me so much to be thankful. And now today, looking back on my trips to Romania, what are the things I've learned? What are the lessons I've learned? Dimitru died in 1997. I got to go over with him on many, many trips. I'll tell you what I learned. First of all, I learned, and I'm not saying this to emulate Dimitru as because he'd say to me, Gino, don't give me the glory, give God the glory. But what I learned is this, when you help the poor, and when you think about others ahead of yourself, all heaven will be behind you and support you and open doors and make a way where there seems to be no way. Our ministry did not have a lot of money at the beginning, but God multiplied the finances like the fishes and loaves. And today, there's 55 church buildings built because of God's faithfulness to his people. I know that we built a couple in Ukraine, and I know we built one or two in Moldova, in Chisinau. And today in Romania, the church, yes, there's you can go to all these villages that we went to in 1990 and today. They all have buildings now to worship in. Buildings where, you know, some have thousands in them, some have hundreds. And I remember slodging through, if that's a word, or I don't want to make a word up, but let's just say plugging along through muddy fields and dirt roads. And Dmitri was not a young man, but he'd take the help to these villages, trip after trip after trip, until the cross, the church was finished. And they'd have these meetings where they would dedicate the church. And I'm amazed at how with a little God did so much. The second thing I learned in Romania is the church is not divided like America. You don't have 2,000 religions. The church is very black and white, it's very in or out type of church. Yes, there's the Orthodox Church, but the born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians, the Baptists get along with the Pentecostals. Many of the Baptists believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's not all this division that you see in America. The church, many of them worship together and meet together. Pastors work together. And you don't see all this division. You don't see, because under persecution, you can't fight with your brother. You've got to pray with your brother. You've got to love your brother. You've got to work together. And so the suffering caused the Christians to unite. And in America, under freedom, we're very divided. I was in a church in the U.S. where they fought over the color of the new chairs. And half the church left because they didn't like the color of the new chairs. Are we kidding ourselves? Are we that carnal when there's churches that don't even have a chair? Churches in Africa and Sudan and churches in Korea and churches in China, where much of the church is underground. What else I learned in Romania as I traveled there? When even though you're poor financially, you can be rich spiritually. Even though you may not have a lot, with God, you have a lot. I would come home and think to myself, those people are richer than many people in the U.S. I would think to myself that these families, these kids are Christians. They pray together. They have the gifts of God. They have, you know, and I'd come back here to America and you'd see kids, even church kids, drunk, doing drugs, partying. This was unheard of over there. The persecuted church, this stuff was not anything that a Christian would involve themselves in. And I learned that through suffering and persecution, the church is cleansed and gold is tried in the fire. When we go through suffering, when our faith means something to us, when there's a cost, that's when people value it more. I also learned going over there that you don't have to be college educated to be a very anointed and powerful preacher. They don't go to Bible college. They didn't go to Bible college. Their Bible college was suffering, torture, beatings, hunger, fasting. Their Bible college was not knowing where the next meal was coming. One time the Securitate came to Dimitri's house because he was a Bible smuggler. And the Bibles were all laying out in the living room. And God blinded their eyes, and they didn't even know they were Bibles. They couldn't see them because God blinded their eyes. And that's the power of God. Over there, I heard about many, many miracles and come back to the U.S., and some people hardly ever see a miracle. Why? What's the difference? Because in America, we're very self-sufficient. In America, we've got so much blessing, but we don't always have the thankfulness we should have. And the Bible colleges, a lot of them have taken out things from the Bible and become very, very intellectual, but lacking the spiritual. You know, many Bible colleges have they've reduced the Holy Spirit to that's what we once taught, or the power of God, or churches go, we can't speak in tongues on Sunday morning. We only allow that Sunday night. And then some churches have the attitude, We don't believe in that. We don't believe in the gifts of God like that. I've heard it from so many people traveling around the country, and thank God I got to go with Mike Boldea 18 years and I saw Mike go out and tell people there is power of God's available today. And the power of the Holy Spirit is available for today. And thank God for the brothers that are preaching out there that the Holy Spirit is for today. Thank God for the people today, the church people that stand for the things of God and still say, yes, God still moves like that today. Friends, I'm telling you what, I'm not going to let a seminarian talk me out of what the Bible says. I'm not going to let I don't want the wisdom of men. I want the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of men is foolishness. The other thing I want to share about my trip, I only have 3 minutes left, and I want to leave you with this, the power of prayer. The Romanian churches thrived on prayer, prayer meetings in their home every week, prayer meetings at midnight, prayer meetings when at 2 a.m, prayer meetings when you start the day. And God worked powerfully in those prayer meetings, even kids getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, young kids, teenagers, young adults, speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Spirit. And it's like prayer. The persecuted church was a praying church. And my great highlight, one of them, was to meet Richard Wurmbrandt in the 1990s and to write a song for his ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. It was such a beautiful blessing to meet him and Sabina. It's been a beautiful blessing working with Dimitri and Mike and the Boldeas, having Virginia in my home many, many times. My kids being able to see our family spend a night a week on our knees praying, even in America, and seeing the gifts and power of God. Going to Romania taught me one thing. Persecution is not something to complain about. It's sometimes something to pray. That if a country doesn't wake up through freedom and blessing, God help it to wake up through persecution and testing. I pray tonight the show helped you and encouraged you. I pray the testimonies. Mike gave me this opportunity. I felt the best thing I could do is give you a bird's eye view of what it's been like to travel over there so many times. God opened the doors, and I thank him for it. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. May God bless you. We will have this show recorded, but God help our country to get back to the old path and follow the Lord humbly and obediently. Keep Mike and the team, Daniel and my wife and all them, in prayer as they are at the conference in Dallas. Thank you so many for joining tonight. I'm surprised at the amount of people that tuned in. I thought if Mike's not on the show tonight, we might have a meager amount of folks listening, but it looks like we've got a very good, solid group. May the Lord bless your night. And again, we just thank him. Lord, thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for giving me clarity and all the things you've done over the years. Lord, it's only by your grace that I've been able to go and see your power firsthand. And it's the same thing I pray for in my country, Lord. See your power every day. God bless you all. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all the